current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome into our weekly look at Bible prophecy that we find in the world's news. These are the signs of the times for Friday, July 31st, 2020. Along with Pastor Mark Kirk, our senior pastor here at Calvary Knoxville, I'm Greg Hilt, your host. Thanks for joining us, whether you're listening live or online right now on this Friday afternoon, or you're listening on Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher as a podcast. This is episode 136. We thank you for taking the time to do so. If you are listening live and online and you would like to subscribe to our podcast, just go to our website at thesigns.org, where you can find out how to subscribe and a lot more about our program. Pastor Mark, welcome.
Look, great to be here. I'm excited about today.
Yes, just excited about today.
I am.
It's nice weather outside. This just in, God is still on his throne, so we can trust him in all things, despite what we see going on in the world around us.
Yes.
I found this quote. I see lots of quotes during the week, but I thought this one was really good and very timely for the time that we live in. And the quote is following: God's sovereignty doesn't negate our responsibility. It just empowers it. So don't let the crisis paralyze you. Trust God to do what you can't. Obey God and do what you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you know who made that quote?
Who made that quote?
One of your favorites.
Yeah?
Max Lucado.
Oh, really? See, I love,
yeah, listen, I know he is.
You know, no, I know. I love his writings and his quotes.
He's just not the most exciting to me to listen to. When he talks, he reminds you of Mr. Rogers.
Yes, and I like Mr. Rogers.
Exactly.
But I like more. He's just not the most excitable presentation vocally, whatever, but he is a great writer, and I love his stuff.
I love his stuff. So I thought that was a great quote.
That was a great quote.
Great quote from Max Lucado.
Yes, thank you, Max. Yes,
thank you, Max.
You've got mail.
Man, do we got mail. We backed up the truck this week. We've got four questions.
It's great.
That is fantastic.
Keep it coming.
We love these listener questions. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, the first one, Pastor Mark, is from Sandy, and her subject is on the Holy Spirit. She asks, since the restrainer is taken out of the way at the rapture, what is the role and relationship of the Holy Spirit to the tribulation saints?
Yeah.
What a great question.
That's a fantastic question. Thank you so much, Sandy. And I love these great questions, well thought out. And also, when one person has it, I know a lot more do. Let me kind of explain really who the restrainer is and where this comes from. In 2 Thessalonians, the Bible talks about there's a restrainer that's holding back the move of the Antichrist from moving forward. And the Bible refers to him as he, the restrainer. And we know that it reveals there in the passage, this is speaking of the Holy Spirit. It's only God can hold back the Antichrist, and only God can restrain. So the Holy Spirit is restraining the move forward of the Antichrist. So with that said, the question being, what happens when the restrainer, it says the Antichrist will be held back until the restrainer is moved out of the way. That means he'll no longer be restrained. So then, okay, now the Holy Spirit is no longer holding back the Antichrist, is what the question is saying and what the Bible's saying. Now what happens to everybody after that? And most people relate this to the rapture, because, again, at the rapture of the church is taken out of here, and you have the restrainer being the Holy Spirit. And many people have wrongfully thought over the years, and as a young believer, I thought this, that because the Holy Spirit was in us and the rapture takes place, then the Holy Spirit's gone. And now the Holy Spirit, the restrainer, who's identified as the restrainer, he's gone. And so now what happens to the believers? How do they have any help from the Holy Spirit? How is anybody led to Christ? What happens to the world after that? Well, the bottom line is the Bible doesn't say that when the restrainer moves out of the way blocking the Antichrist that he disappears off the screen. The Holy Spirit is still going to be very much involved in everything that happens here on this planet, all the way up until Jesus comes back, and then obviously after that.
More from probably the execution of the judgments, I would think.
Well, obviously involved there, yeah. Certainly, yes. But what the point is, I think, and this goes back to another question she didn't really include in this, but a lot of people, again, as I said, used to believe the rapture, now the Holy Spirit's gone. Here's the point. The Holy Spirit is going to stay on the earth working among mankind from this point on. He'll never leave, ever. There's no event where the Holy Spirit will be gone, but he will stop restraining the move forward of the Antichrist.
All right, let me ask her question in a different way. The rapture has happened. Someone's eyes have been opened,
right,
as an unbeliever post-rapture during the Great Tribulation. They give their life to Jesus.
Right.
What is the role and relationship between the Holy Spirit and that saint who gave their life to Jesus after the rapture? Is it looks just the same as pre-rapture?
Yeah, it would. There's nothing that would indicate it would be any different. All it means is now you've got to go through the Great Tribulation, and you'll have the help of the Holy Spirit. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You have the empowering of the Holy Spirit.
So you'll have all three functions of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, you're just going to have huge consequences for missing the rapture, because now you've got to go through the Great Tribulation. But you will not have, again, you won't be receiving God's wrath. You're going to be in the midst of God's wrath, and you're going to have to deal with God's wrath around you as he deals with the world. So it's going to affect you. You'll have the consequences, so to speak.
Provided that you survive the 7 years.
Provided that you survive, you're right. But you won't be actually personally getting God's wrath, because that is only for the unbeliever.
Okay.
Great question.
All right. Our next three questions are actually all from Cameron. And the first one is regarding the last trumpet.
Yes, good question.
And Pastor Mark, he's referencing, I'm going to guess, this is 1 Corinthians 15:52.
Yes, it is.
Okay. He says, when Paul mentions the last trumpet, it's confusing when referenced to Revelation. Is Paul speaking prophetically 40 years before Revelation was written and the seven trumpets are prophesied? And if not, what is he referring to? He goes on to say, my understanding of the seven trumpets are that at least some of them will not take place until the second half of that final 7-year peace treaty. The reason for thinking this is that the fifth trumpet refers to locusts attacking those who took the mark of the beast.
Yes.
There are implications here that speak to the timing of the rapture in relationship to the final 7 years, and maybe this is why people differ on their view of when the rapture will take place.
Yeah, great question, and a very common misunderstanding. This is not, believe it or not, great question, Cameron, not the first time I've heard this question, and I've seen this confusion over the years, but it can easily be cleared up with a little bit of understanding of how all the feasts work, and then the trumpets in Revelation. Let me first say, yes, there are specific trumpets in Revelation during the Great Tribulation, each of them happening in a certain chronological order where certain things happen. And then you come to the very last one, and there you are. And then you read over in Corinthians where it says, at the last trump, we're going to be changed, and we're going to be translated up to the Lord. And you say, well, that looks like the rapture, so how could that be the last trump if that's before all the trumpets even happen? And so, great question. Here's where the confusion comes in. There are multiple trumpets and multiple trumpet blasts all through Scripture and through all of the feasts. The confusion that has come in is you're looking at just the seven trumpets in Revelation and thinking somehow that has to do with the one in Corinthians. It does not. Revelation trumpets are very distinct and very separate. What Paul is talking about in Corinthians are the trumpets of the Feast of Trumpets, which is when the rapture will
not
take place.
Judgment trumpets.
Yeah, so he's saying at the last trumpet, that is the last feast, the last moment, right when we're going to be raptured, that'll be the last trumpet, official trumpet blast, if you will, of the Feast of Trumpets, because now they're done. It's going to be completed in the rapture of the church. So at the last trump of the Feast of Trumpets, we're out of here. But that's long before the seven trumpets of Revelation. So it's just knowing there are multiple trumpets, different trumpets at different time. They blew trumpets at the Feast of Trumpets. Paul is making reference to this is going to be the last Rosh Hashanah when that one happens. This is the last Feast of Trumpets. This will be the last trump, and then boom, the rapture takes place. Now, once the last trump of the Feast of Trumpets takes place, now we move into the trumpets of Revelation.
Which is bad trumpets.
Yes, that's right.
bad tunes. All right, the next question from Cameron is regarding the Antichrist in a peace deal. He says, according to some, the Antichrist doesn't have to be the primary public figure behind the Israel peace deal prior to the last 7 years. What are your thoughts on this? Could the Antichrist be involved but not at the forefront of the deal, since Scripture does not say he will be revealed yet?
Yeah, great question again. Sorry, I thought I was going to sneeze. I don't want to do that on the air.
That's okay. Yeah, I appreciate that.
What's the pause? I had to tell you why. Normally, I wouldn't tell you how long.
For those of you
keep the
wearing
professionalism.
Headphones.
Yes. Keep. But anyway, okay. Again, another great question. You know, here's what we don't have all the details, Cameron. But here's what we do know. We do know that it will be the Antichrist who will finally seal the deal.
That's right.
Now, does that mean somebody won't have the template in place before he shows up? Very well could. Very well could.
Bill Clinton offered part of the template that's prophetic.
I believe so. When he talked about the wall there, the dividing up the Temple Mount.
Yes.
You're right. He suggested building a wall on the Temple Mount or dividing the two areas
up. That was back in the 90s.
Well, and what he didn't know is in Ezekiel 42, it talks about a wall separating the two sides. I heard someone even today talking about, well, I don't think that we can ever have the third temple until something happens to the Dome of the Rock. And I'm like, I totally disagree. I think the Dome of the Rock can't be moved or you'll have World War III.
It's not going anywhere.
The Dome of the Rock's going to be there.
Yep.
I think you're going to see a wall built in whatever agreement
is
made. Yep, and then right back there behind it on that, it depends on what side you're coming from, to the right side, if you're facing it from the Mount of Olives, will be the temple.
Isn't the Dome of the Rock just south of the center point or the middle point?
Yes, okay. If those of our listeners can picture standing on the Mount of Olives and looking toward Jerusalem, that's usually the picture you see on the news.
Yes.
And if you haven't been to Israel, you see that. On the left side, if you're facing it from the Mount of Olives, if you go right to the middle and then move just a little left, that's where the Dome of the Rock is. If you come back to the middle and head right, there's a huge open area that's right behind the Eastern Gate, which is where the Bible says the Lord will come in and go into the temple when he comes back. So the bottom line is, yes, I do believe a wall will be built there and that'll be put in place, if you will. But could a template be in place? Absolutely. And Greg, I want to add to this. I think it's a great question because it opens up another thing to talk about. So the answer, Cameron, would be, yes, they could be working on it, but it will be the Antichrist who seals the deal. All right. That's how the Bible says it's going to happen.
Yeah, it'll be his signature. He's the one that will actually broker the deal and make it stick. Now, everyone there for decades, people have tried.
Yeah. Yeah.
And failed.
Well, and let me tell you what I think is going on. I definitely see the hand of Satan and the Antichrist at work right now, getting us ready for the last days. And what I've been wondering is the Antichrist alive and interacting with some of the world leaders, but they don't know who he is yet? He's not going to be
revealed.
And
he's working behind the scenes.
And he's involved in these plans, because look at this. Let me just recap what happened here recently. We now pretty much are feeling confident this was a man-made virus. It's even my daughters in the medical field, and even the unsaved doctors in the medical field are now saying the evidence that's coming in is looking like a man-made virus. Everybody kind of shied away from that at first. But it's a not only man-made, but maybe intentionally released. Now, we're not sure on that. But those are the questions now that the medical community and scientific community are having. It's man-made for sure, but it may have been intentionally released. Now, at the same time, we're watching coins disappear, and suddenly everyone's having to use credit cards.
Well, now, people afraid to touch paper currency.
Yes. Here's what I'm seeing happen, though. See, that's the people viewpoint. Now, let's talk about the planners behind the scenes. They don't care about the people viewpoint. I'm talking about those in higher places.
Yes.
It almost looks like, and maybe it's just demonic and the spirit of the Antichrist leading these world leaders, but it almost looks like somebody's involved in world leader meetings going, hey, if we were to release this right around the time, you know, it just release this thing and let's see what happens, we could probably force a lot of things on the world to bring unity, because we want to unify the world. We want to bring this kind of unified world together. And if we let just something like that's kind of deadly, but not that deadly released, then everybody breaks down the walls, and we have to you know, fight against the president right now in America, because he's wanting to build walls. If we release this thing and kind of get everybody going, you know what, we're going to have to unify to work together. And if we did it close to an election, we might get rid of the president. Now, again, I'm not getting conspiracy theories. I'm saying it almost seems planned, because get this, Greg. Not only did it just happen like right now, and suddenly when things were going so great for America and building the wall, not tearing it down, At the same time, it did another thing. They've been wanting to have a one world currency and go toward cards or electronic for a long time. They're talking now about Google is working on a tattoo you put on your arm that's like a pad for your computer. You scan, you can do all your things on your computer and your phone by your arm and all this. But the point is, we're watching the world be unified at the same time we're watching currency being taken away. And this is all happening very, very quickly. At the same time, we're watching a mindset being taken over for everyone's got to cooperate with the government. Look,
there's a satanic influence there.
Yeah, here's the thing.
But it's prophetic.
Everybody out there, Mark's getting a conspiracy. Now, let's back up. I understand. I'm not getting conspiracy theory. There's so many things out there that I think are ridiculous. But what I am saying is, it appears to be an organized effort to get the world united and get the world submissive and get the world away from cash all at the same time, whether the leaders know they're doing it or not. It might be completely blind. It's the Antichrist. It's the spirit. But here's my question. This is where it gets intriguing to me. Is there some young guy that's really sharp, that's involved in these meetings, that's throwing these ideas out there, and some of the world leaders are going, that could work? And is he getting supernatural wisdom from the demonic realm? Maybe not, but it's so organized, Greg. It's looking so well put together. It's almost like there's a human voice throwing ideas out there that are being taken, and it's working. So my thought has been, is it just demonic? It may be. Or is the Antichrist actually already involved somehow in the planning behind the scenes with the world leaders? That just... is amazing to me to think about.
Well, it's definitely, you know, God has allowed the spirit of Antichrist to be at work, and whether he's doing it from a spiritual sense, just, you know, remember, everyone's under the sway of the enemy that's not in Jesus. So are these world leaders just simply going along with the sway, or do they have the sway, and then there's some guy there in person that they're looking at, and he's also speaking?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've hypothesized that you believe the Antichrist is already alive on the earth.
Yeah, I do believe this. I don't think anybody knows who he really is or his power. He won't be revealed until we're taken out of here. But because of the timing of where we are, and I think we're this close to the Lord's return and how fast things are happening, I believe he's probably in his 20s. I think he's like a sharp kid, a sharp man, really, and you know, maybe not even fully demonically energized yet. He may not be possessed.
Maybe not yet.
But I think he may have been chosen. He may be in place.
He stands up on that temple. Temple Mount, buddy.
You know, I just think, Greg, you know, when I look at this, like I said, it may just only be the spirit of Antichrist moving in all the leaders. That's a very legitimate and probably what's happening. But wouldn't it be wild to find out after the rapture that this guy's kind of one of those guys that's maybe a runner that's kind of there in the room and said, hey, guys, have you thought about?
Yeah.
Because they're going, you know, how do we unite the world? You know,
just dropping ideas.
You know, if you did let a small virus out that wouldn't hurt anybody, the world would have to unite. And the guy's going, man, that is devious. Because it says, it says the Antichrist will be shrewd. Very, very shrewd.
Yes.
He says he will have sinister schemes.
Interesting.
And they're going to be like that. Man, who is that guy? That will work.
Yeah.
What's your name? You know,
invite him to dinner. Yes.
I mean, I just I don't know.
I know.
I don't want to go too far because I'm going to say Mark's getting conspiracy theories and I'm not.
Well,
but I find it very, very interesting.
But you know, here's the bottom line. It's not a conspiracy theory. We're just really laying out what the Bible has been saying is going to happen. We just have not known how. How is the world going to get united? How is the world going to be forced into a one-world economy, a one-world currency, a one-world government? We are seeing this coronavirus, this pandemic, which pestilence, which plagues, which is also part of prophecy in the latter days. We're seeing how that is being used to affect the other prophecies that have been talked about.
Yeah.
Does this mean that they're all going to come to fruition right now? Is it a contraction? Are we on the cusp? Man, we're definitely in the season, as the Lord said.
Yeah, we really are. I mean, we're it's just so much there. And again, I don't know how involved the Antichrist will be. I know there's got to be some level of him connected somehow just to walk in and suddenly take over. So he's got to be connected somehow. Somebody knows him. They don't know who he is, but he's connected, Greg.
And we believe, Pastor Mark, and you and I have talked about, we believe that the effect of Ezekiel 38 and 39 coming to pass is going to definitely reveal him on the scene.
Yeah.
Because he's the one that's going to basically have all the answers that the world needs at that point.
That's right.
All right. Well, Cameron has one last question here, and it's regarding a one world. At least that's the subject here. It says, is there anything in biblical prophecy that would prevent a one world government existing far before an Israel peace plan in the final 7 years of this age?
Yeah, I don't necessarily see that that could be something that couldn't happen. I don't think it would be something that would go on for a long time prior. Here's again what we know. We know the Antichrist is going to head up and lead a one world conglomeration. It would appear from Scripture, Cameron, that it's going to happen rather quickly around the time of the Antichrist, because there's going to be a 10-nation conglomerate. He's going to rise up and pull out three. Even with saying that prophecy, I would say, yes, it would appear that the one world government will be in place prior to him taking power. I think it would have to with that particular prophecy I just mentioned, because it says that everybody, those 10 are going to be conglomerated together. He's going to rise up quickly to the top and pull three of them down. What nations, how he's going to do it, I don't know. But he's going to yank, Greg, three of them out of the way, and then he will establish his power. So the answer I would say be yes, there can be a one world government prior to the revealing of the Antichrist, and probably will be, at least for a brief moment. So that's a great thought and a great question.
I think that, and just in my opinion in looking at this, I think that a one world government or the structure thereof is really going to come together through economic hardship. It's going to come through it's going to be forced through just the economic necessities, which we're already seeing the effects of what this coronavirus pandemic has, caused around the world, what it's done to the economies of the world, how it's affected business sectors, sports, the sports world, the entertainment world.
Yeah.
And the list goes on. Tourism industry, hospitality industry, and the list really goes on. It's really had a profound effect, of which I don't think we'll see the full results yet. Our heads are still reeling, still spinning. We're still in the middle of the ground still shaking, and things haven't settled.
Yeah.
But when they settle, I think we're going to see some ripple effects economically, and I think it's going to be from the economic ripple effects that we'll see people saying, for the necessity of so-and-so, hey, how about, and let's say it starts small. Think about the European Union.
Yeah.
When the EU got together, what was it over? It was over money. It was putting together things economically because of the transactions of commerce, because of the proximity of all these countries together, and you're driving from one country to another like you drive from one state to another.
Yeah.
So you saw how, and now the EU is now a governing power beyond economy. So I think that the money is going to lead to the man.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's going to be, again, driven by that. But for his motive, it'll all be power, control.
Yes, absolutely.
But for the world, yeah, money. And yeah.
So the pieces might be in place, maybe in a regional sense, because it talks about the 10 toes. So we might have 10 regions begin to form even more, like another EU type of situation come together.
Well, Greg, it's interesting, because in order for all this to happen, again, another subject I was thinking about today was, again, America's got to come down, and I believe the process has begun. I've always been one of those that held out to the last minute, and I still believe revival could come. And it could, but even if revival
comes
to... That's
a spiritual revival versus the country. Yeah.
Right, but even if revival comes to the church, I think America, I think we're on the way down. And we have to go down so that we become equalized with the rest of the world and not dominant in order for all these last things, these last days
to happen. Yeah.
They really have to, Greg. And I look at what's happening. You look at the falling apart of our cities, our governors, our mayors, they've all rejected...
Lawlessness.
They've all rejected God, and he's our only hope, which means it's only going to get worse. You look at what's happening down to our currency, our economy. You look at what's happening to our standing in the world. You look at what's happening. If President Trump doesn't win this election, if somebody gets in that's a more liberal, then it's going to just go the way of exactly what the world wants. All the France agreements, you're going to see this thing just take off.
Yeah.
And it's not about Republican, Democrat. It's about looking at what is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going, if he doesn't win, if he wins, I think that God is restraining a little bit longer, and we'll see how long that lasts. If he doesn't win, I think you're going to see this thing take off quickly. And I was reminded this morning, Greg, just thinking about Romans 1 again, Neil, the Bible says when you begin to worship nature, God turns you over to a vile and debased mind. Romans 1 says that. It says your God becomes nature.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start allowing, you know, different views of sexuality. And it says when you start doing these things, God turns you over. And I look at what's happened to our nation. We used to be protected. We used to be led by the Lord. I think we've been turned over. And now we've made the environment our God. We are allowing things that the Bible says are an abomination to God. And so have we been turned over? I think we have now. First time I've ever really felt we have been turned over. The question is, can it be reversed by revival? Only God knows. And we need to be praying for that.
Yeah, you talked earlier, and I don't remember if it was in a teaching or you were just talking just amongst us, but you were talking about sometimes God doesn't have to necessarily chastise. Sometimes God just has to remove his hand.
Yeah, just back
just,
off.
Just remove his hand of protection.
Absolutely.
And we've always said that we believe that happened September 11th, 2001.
Yeah, I think that was the beginning.
That was the beginning.
And it was almost like a shot over the bow. It's like, guys, you can turn this thing back. But we didn't. And now we find ourselves further into worshiping the environment, again, rather than God. We find ourselves promoting and standing for and with sexual deviation. And now we see a nation and a generation, Greg, that's willing to say, you know what, the rule of law doesn't matter. And Marxism is better than even, you know, what we had before. I mean, it's amazing to watch how quickly it's happened.
I haven't seen the articles. I've just been told that they're out there. So Google this. I'm not going to say for certain, but this is from a pretty reliable source in our staff that shared this, that now the pedophile community is pushing for that same type of normalcy that other groups are pushing for, that they were born this way and that they need to be accepted and so on and so forth. So I, again, don't know exactly where those articles were, but if that is true, we said on this program a long time ago, we expected that because once you open that door, everyone else is going to walk through it.
Well, let me say it is true. This is the Man Boy Club, whatever, I forget the exact name.
NAMBLA.
They've been doing this for years, but here's what's happening. They're making a real strong push.
So they are the ones that are pushing.
They're making a real strong push right now, and here's why it's time to strike. In other words, you're right. Once you start on that downhill slide where anything goes, and believe it or not, this may sound shocking. See, years ago when you would tell people that we'd be looking at homosexuality, lesbianism, or different sexual things other than man and wife is normal, you'd be shocked. It's very normal now. So now when you say that what they're trying to say is it's normal for children to be with grown men. And they're saying that's normal. Well, right now you may be shocked. Trust me, in a few years, that will be the norm because this is how it keeps going if you don't stop it.
People to be with animals. Bestiality.
Absolutely.
I can see that would also.
What business is that of yours? If they want to do that, what business is that of yours? The only restraint they're going to have is the animal people are going to say, and that's cruel punishment
PETA.
To animals.
I can see PETA will be involved.
I can see PETA is trying to stop them because they don't want. But it's going to become. Once any type of deviation from God's word becomes normal and nobody stops it, they all become normal.
Yeah, and we need to go back to the Greek there and look up that word debased or depraved, whatever it says, and get the meaning because, man, it's powerful.
Yeah.
It's deep. It goes beyond just the English thing that we see there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, we've only got just a few minutes left at the end of this.
Well, you know, I don't want to start a whole other subject on this, but I just want to say again, you know, these are the questions are great. Keep the questions coming. We want to be able to answer those questions and have these discussions. And so I want to encourage those of you that have questions out there, send them in. We want them. I wish we could do. We may get the point to where we have a regular call-in thing. We're not doing that right now, but we love the questions and just having the discussions. And so, you know, I don't really have anything to add to that other than it's going to get very exciting. It's going to just be very, very exciting here in the next few days and next few years, really. And this is a great time to rejoice, believers. Don't be afraid. Embrace what's going on. Lean into it. Shine the light and love of the Lord. Be open about sharing the gospel freely. And you're going to get more and more questions. We need to have answers.
Yeah.
We need to have answers. So shows like this and your own study are very important.
If you're a believer, this is the worst it's going to get.
Great point.
If you haven't given your life to Jesus,
right.
This is the best it's going to get.
That's
and guess
right.
what? Things are only getting worse
Amen.
On this earth.
Amen.
So, anyway, when we come back, we've got articles to discuss and more of God's word to discuss. as signs of the times continues. And as Pastor Mark encouraged you, if you've got a question, just reach out to us. You can go on Facebook or Twitter, at Prophecy Help is our handle, or you can go right to our website at thesigns.org. We'll be right back.
WIAMLP
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
It's Crazy Money Day. Hey, I'm Chuck Bentley with My Money Life from Crown. Have you ever had the chance to earn overtime pay? One man did, and it sure paid off. In 2015, a janitor at the Bay Area Rapid Transit Station grossed $235,000. That was four times more than his base pay. Records show that over a three-year period, he received a total of $682,000 in pay and benefits. He worked almost every day of the year, earning lots of overtime hours. Now that's crazy. I hope he rested well on the days he didn't work and enjoyed some good vacations. When the Fair Labor Standards Act was adopted in 1937, 40 hours a week became standard for many working people. But talk to entrepreneurs and they'll tell you that they work a whole lot more than that. I wonder how your budget would be impacted if you worked an extra few hours every week. You could pay down your credit card bill, student loans, or automobile loans. How about growing an emergency fund, saving for the down payment on a house, or building your retirement fund? Many people settle for mediocrity. They don't know the satisfaction that comes from working hard and reaping the financial benefits. They want their free time, but fail to realize that often that's when money gets squandered, unless they've learned self-discipline. Overtime pay provides more money, could help advance your career, and pay better than a second job. It does mean you need to rest well in your off hours, to limit stress, and to avoid burnout. Are you struggling with credit card debt? I highly recommend Christian Credit Counselors. They can create a debt management plan just for you. For more information, call the Crown Helpline at 800-722-1976 or visit online at crown.org/CCC.
A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor.
You know, a lot of times with the guys here and the gals that serve alongside of me, and I'll encourage you, is we all serve alongside one another, that when you get an email that kind of rises to the occasion, kind of upsets you or somebody's saying about you, and you immediately respond and you start typing it out, don't send it. Put it in your draft box and give it a couple days. Pray about it, think about it, ask some counsel, just seek the Lord, take a deep breath, take a walk, you know, go on the treadmill, whatever you need to do to let the stress go out. And most of the time when you pull that email back after a couple days, you know what you do? You do click the trash can. And you go, you know what? It's not that big a deal. I'm going to overlook a minor offense.
You can learn more at edtaylor.org. Grow deeper in your love relationship with Jesus by visiting edtaylor.org. This has been A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Welcome back to our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news. These are the signs of the times for Friday, July 31st, 2020, episode 136. I'm Greg Hilt, Pastor Mark Kirk, along with us, our senior pastor at Calvary Knoxville, helping us to understand exactly how God's Word and the Bible, and God's Word is the Bible, but the world's news kind of come together. So sometimes we will refer to Pastor Mark as that prophetic traffic cop that stands in the intersection of the world's news and the Word of God to help us see what's coming. Yes.
Stop right there.
He's got a pair of white gloves on right now. He's got a whistle. He's got the hand motions.
That's the traditional police traffic cop.
Right? That is there right go. There. All right, let's go to Israel for a moment. This is from IsraelNationalNews.com, dated July 29th. And we've heard this before, but we're hearing it again, so we always perk up when we hear these things. Rabbis are saying we must act to bring about rebuilding the temple.
Yeah, what a great, you know, I love hearing this because the more you hear this kind of stuff, the closer we realize we are to the Lord's return. And that is that the third temple is going to be rebuilt. Listen to what this says. Rabbi Benyahu Bruner and Rosh Yeshiva of the Seder Yeshiva. I'm going to leave all those names out. A bunch of rabbis.
You do so good with those things.
I do okay, but why read them? Let's go on. And other leading religious Zionists.
Some guy.
Issued a special call during 9 days of Tish B'Av. Now, what's Tish B'Av? First of all, during Tish B'Av for the public to support organizations working on behalf of the Temple Mount. Tish B'Av is the celebration of, well, I don't, celebration is not the word, the grieving, the mourning of the destruction of both temples. It's interesting, Greg, both temples were destroyed at the same time throughout their history. Babylon, it was destroyed on the same date. And then Rome destroyed it on the same day that many years later, which you see God's hand.
So interesting.
Isn't that amazing? Supernatural. Couldn't
wow.
be the, but
yeah.
they call it Tish B'Av. It is a celebration. Again, I don't use the word celebration. A mourning time that the temple is gone and there's no temple. They just celebrated it. It's a nine-day event where they remember, memorial, if you will. And Rabbi Bruner said in the video, which is filmed on the Temple Mount, we are in the days between the fasts. The sages say this mourning, that is sadness, is ancient. It's gone on for too long. Our goal is for this mourning to end. This mourning can only be ended by us redeeming the Holy Temple. Therefore, I would like to thank all those who will donate to the Temple Mount organizations generously so that they can continue their activities with more vigor and courage for the redemption of the Temple Mount. Now, the campaign was launched last week to raise money for the Temple Mount organizations during the 9 days, the period of mourning for the destruction of the Holy Temple of Jerusalem. So far, the campaign has raised half the targeted amount. Here's the bottom line. They're saying, look, we've been mourning for too long about not having a third temple. We need to get this done. Please hear me, world and Jews out there. Donate to all the organizations that are helping to get the temple rebuilt. One of them being the Temple Institute, which we've been to numerous times there in Israel, where they have all the implements. They're training the priests. They have the garments. Greg, they are getting ready. And this is, it's reached a new level. It's not just, okay, we want a third temple. They're saying, let's really push this to make it happen. You're seeing a new push for it. And that's what gets my attention. We know the third temple will be rebuilt here very soon. And that's when that wall comes up. It's going to be rebuilt because the Antichrist is going to declare from that temple that he's God.
Well, and thinking about Cameron's questions in the first half, that's really going to be the Antichrist's claim to fame when he comes on the scene. He's the guy that is able to do something that no other world leader has been able to do, many have tried, and that's to broker a peace deal on that Temple Mount, giving part to the Jews, part to the Muslims, allowing the Jews to rebuild their third temple. So whenever we see stories about the Jews pushing for that third temple, from a prophetic spiritual standpoint, man, we're even that much closer. Because
yes, we are.
That, now do you, I mean, we've seen a lot of things in the news, Pastor Mark,
yes.
you know, in contention for prophecy fulfillment.
Right.
When we think about the one's everything, economy, world, religion, whatnot. But would you not think that we would see more and more stories about the push for the Jews and the rebuilding their third temple to be a new story, to be a point of contention in the world, that is like how we see the flaming going on right now around the world regarding, man, we've got to come together on this and on that and on something else as something that needs to be extinguished by the power of the Antichrist and his solutions. And that's got to be something that I would think that would be inflaming or inflamed at the point that he comes on there after Ezekiel to offer that as part of his solution, the 7-year treaty.
I think it would normally, Greg. The reason you're not hearing anything about it now is because nobody's taking it seriously, number one. They just think, that's those crazy Jews. It's not going to happen.
Right.
But there's this Antichrist. He's going to have an amazing charisma and power backing him. So he's either going to be able to come in with this amazing charisma and power and say, we have to do this for everybody to get along. Just build that wall. Let's put them on this side. And everybody's going to go, okay, because he's going to have so much power and charisma. Mm. Or a second option could be, and this is, I still think, what may play a huge factor in this, Greg. Remember, when this Russian battle takes place, Russian-Iranian war into Israel, and God intervenes and wipes them out, the world's going to be so shocked by this massive destruction of the Russian army, the Iranian army, the Turkish army, the Sudanese army, and the Libyan army, which are the five main ones coming in during that time.
Yeah.
they're going to be so shocked by that. I think the whole world's going to realize, wow, we just averted a world war. This thing was bad, but it could have been really bad. Then this guy's on the scene saying, everybody, listen to me and calm down. And they go, what a genius. And remember, remember, I believe when that battle takes place, you're going to wipe out a large portion of radical Islam. And what's holding back the moving forward of the Third Temple? Radical Islam. The world fears them. They're afraid of them. If you wipe out major portions of the Iranian army, major portions of the Turkish people, major portions of the Sudanese and Lebanese, these are all radical, have many, many radical Muslims in them. When that happens, Greg, there's going to be, not all of them, but a large chunk of radical Islam suddenly gone. And he moves it at that moment and says, let's do this. You're going to have less voices opposing it. So
either of those
scenarios could happen. I think he'll have the charisma and the power to do it on his own. But he's also going to, I think, have the backing of that war that just took place and people saying, hey, we've got to come up with a solution. The Antichrist will do it.
Speaking of Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Absolutely.
This is from timesofisrael.com. Israel is sending reinforcements to the north and bracing for an imminent attack. Now, this was dated July 28th.
Right.
Today's the 31st.
Correct.
You've not only got this story, but now you've got an update to the story.
I do. This was a 48-hour clock going on this one, why I wanted to update it. But it says Israel officials expect an attack on Israeli troops by the Lebanese terror group within the next 48 hours. Of course, that was 2 days ago, 3 days ago now, so we're beyond the 48 hours. They expect it before the start of the Muslim holiday, Eid al-Adha. I may have said that wrong. Forgive me if I did. On Thursday night, according to the to an unattributed Channel 12 report, over the past week, Hezbollah has threatened some form of retaliation for the death of one of its fighters last week in Syria in an airstrike that it attributed to Israel. Now, here's what the Hezbollah have done. They've said, every time one of our people die, we're going to bring retribution against Israel from this point on. So one of their people died last week in a bomb from Israel. And so they said, all right, we have to attack. And they had to do it before their holiday. And so here's what happened. Lebanon has not attacked. There's not a war going on up north. That didn't happen, but it could have, is why this article said that. And here's what did happen. Something did indeed happen. Here's the update. They did send some Lebanese troops over the border into Israel to do some terrorist activity, trying to attack one of the bases that was up in the north. The Jews, Israel was watching for it. They were prepared for it. They repelled them, attacked them, killed some of those that were trying to cross into Israel. They fled, went back into Lebanon. So there was an incursion. There was an attempt. Israel thwarted it. It didn't turn into war. But at the same time, at any moment, these things could turn into an escalated war. There's a lot of tensions going on over there in so many areas right now. But as an update, this one has now been thwarted. And the thing is, it was more of a, it's like gang fighting. You shot one of our guys, we're going to shoot one of yours. They're now claiming they took revenge on Israel. They really don't want to fight Israel, but now we took revenge, so now they'll back off and they save face.
Yeah.
So I think it's died back down for now. But keep your eye on that northern border. It's always a concern.
Okay, we've got a few stories here for America. The first one is from APnews.com. The U.S. Supreme Court denies Nevada church's appeal for a virus rule. And it looks like this church is kind of close to home in terms of... within a Calvary Chapel.
It's a Calvary Chapel. This is a huge article and very scary for a number of reasons I'll tell you. And part of, I believe, the decline of our nation and the official collapse of our Constitution. Because once our Supreme Court goes against our Constitution, which they just did, where do you go from there?
Where do you go from
there?
Let
me read some of this. A sharply divided U.S. Supreme Court denied a Nevada church's request late Friday to strike down as unconstitutional a 50-person cap on worship services as part of the state's ongoing response to coronavirus. In a 5-4 decision, the High Court refused to grant the request from the Christian Church in east of Reno, to be subjected to the same COVID-19 restrictions in Nevada that allow casinos, restaurants, and other businesses to operate at a 50% capacity with proper social distancing. Again, it was Calvary Chapel of Dayton Valley. They argued that the hard cap on the religious gatherings was an unconstitutional violation of its parishioners' First Amendment right to express their exercise and exercise their beliefs. Again, John Roberts, who has turned into a very liberal, he's basically a full-fledged, almost radical liberal now in the court that started out as supposed conservative, is the one that pushed it over the top. He's done several of those recently, and there's always a Judas somewhere in the midst. Yeah, and he has turned into a real Judas. But let me just say what's going on here. Listen, here's the bottom line. Here's why this is so concerning. Some of you are saying, but Mark, this is different. This is COVID. It's a dangerous thing. Churches shouldn't do this. They shouldn't allow it. Now, if that's all this was, I may agree with you to a certain degree. But this is much more than that. What this is saying is others can have larger numbers. Churches can't.
The protesters, the rioters.
No, but even the casinos.
Even
okay,
the casinos,
now you're
yes.
adding something
yeah,
not
yeah.
in this case.
I know,
but true.
But true.
But let me
yeah,
get back
casinos,
to just
yes.
this case. Within this case before the Supreme Court, here's what they said. If the Supreme Court had said casinos can't have that many, restaurants can't have that many, and churches can't have that many. Okay. All right. That's like, all right, maybe we're still within the bounds of the Constitution. We need to protect the community. Okay, I get that. It's a pandemic. But they didn't say that. They said this. The casinos can have larger numbers. The restaurants can have larger numbers. Churches only can't. Now, this is scary because what they're saying is the church has less rights, less protections, and is less equal to all other institutions. It is the first time in our nation's history, a nation founded on God, one nation under God, where we have turned on the church and said, not only is the church not equal, they are less than even a casino. They're less than everyone else. So it's not about whether you can meet or not meet. It's not about, it's that the others can, you can't. This is a direct violation of the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. And I've often said, we are to come under our governing authorities until they go against the Word of God. But let me add this. The Word of God says that we're to obey the governing authorities and the laws that are established. Our Supreme Court just disobeyed the laws that are established, which means when that happens, we now put that aside and divert to a higher law, God Almighty. Now, that doesn't mean we disobey the laws of the land in every area. That doesn't mean we disobey the Supreme Court in every area. That means in this ruling, we are to disobey the Supreme Court. God's word would tell us, do not obey the Supreme Court in this ruling. Go ahead and meet. So whether or not the church does or not, that is on the authority of divine authority from God in heaven. If they're allowing others to do it, the church should continue to meet regardless of what the Supreme Court said. That is the first time in my life of 57 years I've ever said we should defy the Supreme Court, but you're officially hearing me say it right now. On this decision, the Supreme Court is to be denied and God's word and God are to be upheld.
The prophecy of lawlessness abounding, I would say, Pastor Mark, has officially been fulfilled.
Unbelievable. I never thought I'd see this in my life, but
amazing.
A lot of things are happening very quickly I never thought I'd see in my life, and this is just another one.
CBN.com is reporting that a satanic temple is offering a devil's advocate scholarship to high school grads who support the satanic agenda.
Well, isn't that special?
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah,
well,
amazing.
Again, not that the schools in the local area are going along with this and not that the government's going along. I don't want to give that impression, but I did want to notice how bold the Church of Satan
yes.
is getting. The Salem, of all things, Salem, Massachusetts-based organization.
Shocking.
Which claims its goal is to support separation between church and state.
We've got a listener up there somewhere.
Do we?
Yeah, I think we do.
Said that the $500 Devil's Advocate Scholarship is open for 2020 grads. It's really just a mockery of any kind of thing. They're mocking God. They're mocking the school system. The two questions you have to answer, what initiates, what initiatives have you undertaken that are consistent with the church's tenets and mission and the satanic church? And then please discuss and describe. Look at this. You can see this demonic and somebody who's really just hates teachers and the structure. Please discuss and describe in detail any one of the teachers who crushed your spirit, undermined your self-confidence, and made you hate every minute that you were forced to go to school. It sounds like a spoiled kid, doesn't it? But it's funny,
oh
but it's
my.
Not because
yes.
it's serious. And yeah. here's the bottom line. The schools are not going along with it. The government's not going along with it. So we're not trying to say that. But amazing to me that the darkness would be this bold. And here's what happens, Greg. Whenever the light is squelched, that is when people turn from God and turn away from God and God begins to back away, you see darkness stepping forward to fill the void. And sadly, that's what's happening in our nation, not just in areas like that, but in many areas, even as our cities in riots and all that we see going on now. Same spirit.
Yeah. Breitbart.com reporting that the Seattle police chief has told residents and business owners, essentially, you're on your own.
Good for him. Very sad statement, but good for him. And let me explain this. Seattle Chief of Police Carmen Best, which I think apparently is the best guy for the job, or for her job.
I was going to say, could Carmen be a guy's name?
No, advised her city's business owners.
Thank you. There you
yes,
go.
Yes, and residents that local police will not, and I love this, risk their personal safety to protect property. After a ban issued by the city council of less lethal tools such as pepper spray for the purposes of dispersing crowds or control riots, she issued this letter to her businesses and residents of the city. Listen to this. Dear business owner and resident, please know the Seattle Police Department is committed to addressing life safety incidents and calls for service and responding to ongoing demonstrations to unrest of the city. Please also know that we'll follow the... I'm going to try to cut some of this down, but let me say this. But because the city council has cut their ability to protect themselves, right? The Seattle police will have to adjust deployment in response to any demonstrations this weekend, as I will never ask our officers to risk their personal safety to protect property without the tools to do it in a safe way. I love this lady.
Wow,
she
great.
Is right. Here's the bottom line. The foolish council that's going on there in Seattle, the leaders of Seattle, very foolish, have said the police cannot be police. You can't protect yourself. You can't stop the bad guy. Just stand there in a uniform, let them punch you, shoot you, kick you, whatever else they want to do, and then go do your job. No. The answer to that is no. I love the sheriff there, Carmen Best, the chief of police, rather. What a great thing she did by saying, you know what? If you're not going to let our people protect ourselves, we are not going to be able to protect you. Good for you. Go for it. Everybody pray for the chief of police there in all of our cities, but especially there in Seattle,
yeah,
because they are self-destructing. They're destroying themselves, and it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I'm so thrilled with her. I'm sad that the people that live there have to be told, you better protect yourself. But let me say this. You better make a plan right now to protect yourself, because the government and the police they either won't do it or they're not going to be able to much longer. So you better have a plan in place, and now's the time to act. Do not wait until they make everything you're going to protect yourself with illegal. Get moving, listeners, to Signs of the Times, and be ready, because you're going to be the policeman in your neighborhood and you're going to be the sheriff of your own home, because nobody else is going to show up the way things are going if this goes this way much longer.
All right. Well, let's feast on a smorgasbord of pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. This story, Pastor Mark, is kind of a follow-up, but it kind of shows the repercussions of the Australian fires from last year. This is from CNN.com. Nearly 3 billion animals killed or displaced.
Yeah, amazing.
The title of this article.
Amazing end time stuff. Researchers are still working to finalize the report titled Australia's 2019-2020 Brush Fires, the Wildlife Toll. But the 3 billion figure is not likely to change, according to the WWF statement. I didn't know that the wrestling organization was getting involved. That's very
interesting. No, it's the World Wildlife Foundation, I think, Pastor Mark, not the World Wrestling Federation. Sorry.
Oh, sorry about that. Okay, let's go on. And I quote, when you think about nearly 3 billion native animals being in the path of the fires, it is absolutely huge. It's difficult to number to comprehend, said Chris Dickman, a professor at the University of Sydney who oversees the research. We believe a continent-wide assessment of the number of animals that might be impacted has never been done in Australia before or anywhere else in the world. Other nations can build upon this research to improve understanding of brush fire impacts. Again, look at this one thing. A minimum of 5,000 koalas are estimated to have died. Now, again, when I say end times, I know these things have happened in the past, but you're going to see more of these tragedies that destroy large areas, large numbers of animals, large numbers of feed or food or growth as we head to a worldwide famine or worldwide chaos. You're going to see more of these events. This is not that, you know, okay, this is not like, you know, great tribulation stuff, but be aware of this type of stuff. You're going to see more of this.
Yeah.
And so I want to bring it to the attention of our listeners.
Yeah, it's tribulation for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's have some good news. This is from Fox,
yeah.
FoxNews.com. Louisiana's governor announces a 3-day fast in prayer due to the coronavirus outbreak.
Yeah, amazing. What a great thing for the governor to do. And a Democratic governor at that. I don't mean to sound too surprised. But typically when you hear about prayer or things like this, it's Republican governors, not Democratic governors. But the governor of Louisiana, a Catholic, is calling for 3 days of fasting and prayer for people affected by the coronavirus. Democrat Governor John Bel Edwards admitted his plea is a little bit unusual during a press conference last week, but he said it is very important anyway, the Catholic News Agency reports. I'm going to call for 3 days of fasting and prayer for our state for July 20th through the 22nd, Edwards said. The governor said he received a request during a call with religious leaders from across the state. And I quote, so if you're inclined, please join me and the First Lady and faith leaders of Louisiana, regardless of your denomination or religion. And we would ask that you join us in prayerful reflection and fasting. I want to say kudos to Governor John Bel Edwards. Way to go. I just think that's great. I wish more of our governors would call for three-day fasts. I wish, we all, the church needs to be fasting and all that. You know, we've been calling for prayer and we've been doing prayers and we've had a couple of special prayer moments and prayer nights at Calvary since coronavirus broke out. And more churches, I think, need to be doing this. I'd love to see when the secular realm gets involved in this. The only answer, Greg, for America right now in the world is God. And the problem is so few people are calling out to him. So this is a great, uplifting article.
You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says that my people who are called by my name will basically turn from their evil ways.
Yes.
I will hear them from heaven.
Yes.
And will heal their land.
Right.
But isn't the preceding verses speaking about a plague?
Yeah, it's in there, yes. One of the things.
One of the things.
Yes.
There's more than one, but the plague is part
it's
of it.
It's part of the context.
Which I think is interesting in light of what you were...
It really is.
You know, and God is talking about my people. God's not expecting the world, which is why we're kind of surprised when we see a government official doing this, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Would to God that all the leaders would
yes,
do that.
Yes.
But when the church, he's speaking to his people, if they will do that, then he will. So all the more reason, Pastor Mark, as you were talking about, we've had these things in the past, all the more reason for the churches to do it even more.
Yeah, and I want to, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I want to clarify to say, look, and I said I'm surprised as a Democratic governor there, the only reason I say that is that the Democratic convention the last 2 years, oh, they've made it a point to say,
yeah,
we don't want God to be a part of
right,
our convention.
So they have, yes.
They have literally said, not only have they removed God as a Democratic group, as an organization,
yeah,
as a party, if you will, they've been very vocal about it. So to hear someone come from the Democratic Party that is a part of the whole movement there to keep God out of everything, this is exciting. Catholic or not, I'm excited. And again, we need to be praying for Louisiana. And you know, Greg, I think you're going to see, I would not be surprised. Everybody watch the news. I wouldn't be surprised to see a blessing of less cases and less deaths, or a downturn, if you will, of good news. Downturn in the virus cases, but an upturn in good news for Louisiana here very soon. It wouldn't surprise me if people go, we don't know why Louisiana's doing so good, but be watching the news. If that happens, all you Signs of the Times listeners go, that's what they talked about. It's really, because I think you're going to see that kind of thing very possibly. Let's keep our eye on that, because God honors that, and there's going to be people crying out for the fact that he would make an official proclamation. And that they would cry out for it is just a wonderful thing. And so, again, way to go, Louisiana.
Yeah.
That'd be a great state to live in.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, I take this last little bit of time here, guys, we have on our broadcast today to once again turn the eyes back toward the Lord. You know, I like to try to do this as often as I can, but we talk about all these things that are happening prophetically and all these things that are happening. It's easy to get our eyes on that stuff. But right now, I want to get our eyes all back on Jesus. You know, the Bible says that God knew all this was going to happen. He predicted all this would happen. We're just part of our job is to let you be aware of it, to talk about it. Jesus told us about it, so we want to tell you about it so you can recognize the signs of the times and the days you're living. But the whole point of it is to lead people to Jesus Christ. The Bible says the spirit of prophecy is Jesus Christ, and he is the spirit of prophecy. So when we talk about this, the point is get you to Jesus. Now, you may be fascinated by the show. You may be fascinated about how the news lines up with the Bible. But have you become fascinated yet with Jesus and what he did for you on the cross? See, here's the main thing. Regardless of what happens in these last days, if you know Jesus, you're going to be forever in the kingdom of God with the Father and Jesus and all the saints for eternity. That's the ultimate goal. Right now, we are visitors. The Bible says pilgrims on this planet. We're trying to get through this crazy mess to get to heaven. And how do we do that? The Bible says you have to go to Jesus and confess you're a sinner. You let him know you're a sinner. You say, Lord, I believe you died for me on the cross. I believe your blood paid for me on the cross. I not only do I turn from my sin and repent of it, I choose to follow you and give my life to you. And the Bible says if you do that, you'll be born again. That is, born in the spirit, not just physically, but now spiritually alive. You'll be forgiven of all your sins. You will escape all this mess that's coming in the last days, the great tribulation. And you'll be watching from heaven at the wedding supper of the Lamb when the rapture takes place. That is the removal of God's people from the earth before this really gets bad. So we're going to go through part of it. But he'll give us grace through the midst of it if we know him. And then we have our reservation at our table. You know, it's like showing up there and they, do you have reservations? Yes, I do. Jesus Christ. Your table's right over there. Take your, there's your seat. I can't wait. It's going to be exciting. You can be a part of it. I encourage you, make that commitment to Christ. Confess your sin. Ask him into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. And do it today. What are you waiting on? He loves you. He cares about you. And then you're going to have your eyes open to what we're living in today and understand things. But you're also going to have your reservation in the kingdom of God.
Pastor Mark, thank you so much. That's really the heart's desire of this program, and has been from the very beginning, is that prophecy would be used to open the eyes of people and lead them to the cross of Christ. So we hope if you've been listening and you didn't know Jesus before the beginning of this program, that you've confessed him now as your Lord and your Savior. Have a great weekend, everyone. Don't forget thesigns.org for everything related to our program. And we'll be back next Friday at 1:30 for more Signs of the Times right here on WIAM.